You can be a winner as well. NewCreationsHCG.com. And again, it's a game changer, a life changer. A lot of people are thinking about New Year's resolutions, and losing weight is often one of them, but don't plan on losing weight between January and April or May or June when you can just lose it all in January. How about that? 3 weeks. I did in 23 days, 24 pounds. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough, and I lost to Roger. Hence the head shave. If you haven't seen.
Hence the head shave.
But go to newcreationshcg.com. You can change your life today, and I am so glad. It has been such a great year for me, and that was one of the best things that happened to me, if not the best thing that happened to me. NewCreationsHCG.com, 501-791-6795. You can change your life as well. So I appreciate them very much. But if I were you, I would also suggest you don't ever make a bet with Roger Scott.
Doesn't he's that good, huh?
Well, he'll either win or he'll finagle. I'm not saying he cheated.
Ah! I just quick jockstrap. When I was watching the U Part 2, Billy Corbin Saturday night, went through the Miami deal, and I just forgot how bad the NCAA and Donna Shalala, the president of Miami, botched it, which, by the way, she's stepping down at the end of this academic year. I guess I forgot, and I don't know how, every time we bash the NCAA or whatever they do, or administrators that make wrong choices, we don't point to that situation and say, okay, exhibit A of how bad that can be. And it was, everybody knew that Miami had broken all kinds of NCAA rules and regulations. At the end of the day, they only got a slap in the hand because the NCAA screwed it up so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Shalala had welcomed in, just based on money, the Nevin Shapiro situation. It was just such a mess.
All I got to do is look at that guy's face and know this dude is a Delta Bravo bad news.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you couldn't spend 5 minutes talking to this guy?
Yeah. I commend Randy Shannon. At least he sniffed this loser out immediately. Didn't do him any good, but
no, I know. And he comes out obviously looking like somebody that knew he shouldn't have anything to do with him. And he told the players, don't go near this guy. It's just a shame, man. And it happens all over.
Yeah. I'll give a game ball to Billy. I thought it was a great and again, I got no stake in Miami, but it is an entertaining. It's just a great story. Just all the crazy stuff that happened. Speaking of things I forgot how bad they got screwed in that championship game, how bad that pass interference call was at the end of the game.
I didn't realize, yeah, it was that
horrendous.
Long after.
It was horrific how bad
although
that
he
call
did
was.
Hold him on the turn. He did hold him on the turn.
Yeah, but last play of the game, you're not going to call that, typically.
I know, right? Yeah, I guess so. That
they could have won
that
in overtime,
changes.
Though. They did blow that. He had a wide open. I didn't realize Dorsey had a wide open dude that he just completely missed in overtime. Right at the goal line would have been an easy
He's
touchdown.
He's a good storyteller, Billy. That's what makes it fun. Listen, I love any kind of documentary if you tell the story the right way.
Right. No, I'm with you. I agree. I've got a couple other jock straps. First of all, to the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, share their jock strap, but it was stinky. And I watched most of this game yesterday at a local sports bar. It was horrendous. The game was all just out of sorts. They gave up a punt return for a touchdown. Rodgers threw two picks and no touchdowns for the first time in his career. It was literally the worst game of his career by a passer rating standpoint.
But see, there were a few times he threw it on the money to Jordy Nelson. Should have been like an 80-yard touchdown pass. He drops the ball.
He dropped it, and he admitted that he dropped one he should have had yesterday.
They get two drops.
But they gave up a punt return for a touchdown. He threw two picks, no touchdowns, and they still were in the game. They fumbled in the end zone late, and it was a debacle. Anyway, they just had a horrible day. It was not a good day to have a horrible day. But the good news is they still control their own destiny because they can beat the Detroit Lions the last week of the season at home and win the division. So that's what they need to do. We're going to go through the playoff scenarios here in just a minute. Rodgers, 34.3 passer rating, the lowest of his career. Meanwhile, Johnny Manziel in his first appearance ever bested that. 27.3 passer rating in his first appearance as an NFL starter. Not very good, but I will say this. The offensive line is not very good. They don't have a lot of talent at the end of the day around him. And so offensively, it's not just Hoyer. It was the fact that there wasn't a lot of talent around him either. And he had a couple drops. They had a couple receivers drop balls, but he made a couple iffy bad decisions, stuff that people would expect from Manziel. And
I thought Lynch made a good point during the broadcast. He said that a lot of these receivers are still trying to get used to Johnny Manziel, where Manziel he's a guy that's going to run around a little bit. So the receivers have got to realize he's going to extend the play. Mm-hmm. Keep moving. Keep trying to find an open space.
Right.
You know, not just whereas Hoyer, maybe it's okay. You know, he doesn't hit you, then
it does
plays dead.
Kill me that NFL receivers just stop running. And I'm thinking,
get to the open spot.
Well, just keep moving around. I mean, they stand there and they like kind of stand by the defender that's standing right next to them. I'm thinking, how do you think a quarterback is going to get you the ball? Keep moving. You know, whether you run downfield, back to him, to the middle of whatever you do.
Say, well, Seattle's guys got that one down. They know a guy like Russell Wilson.
That's receiver 101.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Well, even, you know, Aaron Rodgers' receivers understand that. Andrew Luck's receivers understand that. Russell Wilson's.
You can get some cheap receptions that way.
And it's almost unstoppable. Like, if the quarterback and those wide receivers are on the same page, how are you going to stop that?
Tom Brady yesterday.
Business as usual. He was at home, Miami. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? You know
his worst performance ever was against Buffalo also. He was 14 of 28, 123 yards, four interceptions, no touchdowns. 22.5 passer rating. That's bad, bad.
Nobody wants to go up to Buffalo.
No, I guess not. Anyway, the Packers have never won there, so anyway, they can take care of their business, so that's the good news for me. And I want to see him in the postseason, obviously. I want to see him in the Super Bowl against the Packers, or the Patriots, which would be fun.
Well, now that the issue becomes, can anybody beat Seattle in the NFC Championship game in Seattle?
If it gets to that point, yes. Here's what we got coming up. Here is, if the season was to end today, here's your playoff situation. Patriots and the Broncos get a bye. Patriots have left at the Jets and the Bills at home. Broncos go to the Bengals and the Raiders at home. The other playoff teams, if the season were to end today, Ravens, Colts, Steelers, Bengals. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
How nasty is that division, the NFC North? I mean, they got a bunch of teams that are right on the cusp of making the playoffs. Okay. I mean, the AFC North. Is that what I said? Anyway. Then you get the Chiefs, who are 8-6. They're just on the outside looking in. But they control their own destiny, I think. If they win out, they're going to be in. They play at the Steelers, and then they get the Chargers at home. So if they knock off the Steelers and get their 9th win and then get their 10th win with a win over the Chargers, my guess is they will find their way into the playoffs because there are some other tough matchups for some teams. The Bengals get the Broncos at home, then they go to the Steelers. That's brutal.
Mm.
So getting that 10th win could be really tough for Cincinnati. Steelers, I mentioned. The Colts look like they're in pretty good shape. Although they go to the Cowboys, and then they go to the Titans, so they should at least do no worse than split, so they should be in the playoffs with 11 wins at worst. The other one is as crazy as the Saints. The Saints are 5-8. They have to win tonight against the Bears. If they do, they have the Falcons and the Bucks left. Winnable games. So they may control their own destiny, too, because you got to think Carolina, even though they won yesterday, they've got the Browns at home, and then they go to the Falcons. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said in the NFC South, as bad as it is.
Is Cam Newton, what's he, still day-to-day? Status?
I don't think he's going to play. Derek Anderson played fine yesterday. Threw for like 277 yards and no interceptions. The Chargers go to the Niners and to the Chiefs. They got a brutal finish. Okay, now over the NFC, you got the Cardinals have the Seahawks at home, and then they go to the 49ers, who basically can only play spoiler now at 7-7. The Lions go to the Bears, to the Packers, and they're the division leader, and they actually would have a first-round bye if the season were to end today. But my guess is they're going to lose at the Packers at minimum. If the Packers went out at 12-4, they're going to look pretty good, I would think, about not having to play that first weekend also. They go to the Bucs, and then they get the Lions at home, but they'll have to beat the Lions at home, and that ain't going to be easy. Seahawks go to the Cardinals, then they get the Rams at home.
That's going
to
be a great game.
Yeah, at the Cardinals this next week, that should be a fantastic game. I like the Seahawks the way they're playing right now. Lynch is getting after it again.
How can you not like the Seahawks all the way through?
Defense is nasty.
But Arizona, listen, this is...
They keep doing it.
It all comes down to this. You've got to be able... You beat Seattle at home. That's the number one seed. Was that how it's going to work out? They beat Seattle in Arizona. Arizona has...
If they beat Seattle, I think they locked up a one seed or a two seed at worst, yeah. They're going to get a bye for sure. Hey, I got to give a game ball, too. I didn't do it, but how about the Cowboys? You know, they lose at home the other day to the Eagles. They get smashed on Thanksgiving Day, and then just a couple short weeks later, they go on the road and destroy... The Eagles, they jumped out to a 21-zip lead, and they end up winning, 38-24 or something? Anyway, they won handily on the road in Philly. Good for them. And now they're in the playoffs if the season were to end today. They've got some work to do, of course, but let me see what they've got left here. Dallas wins 38-27 was the final, excuse me. So,
and you know the Cowboys haven't lost. They've won every road game this year.
That's amazing.
That's huge.
They got the Colts at home, then they go to Washington for the final week of the season. So they have two tough games left. Panthers have the Browns at home and then at the Falcons. Yes, the Panthers are in the playoffs if the season were to end today. That's how bad that division has been. But again, the Falcons are not out of it, and the Saints are not out of it. Saints have to win tonight to stay relevant. Falcons have at the Saints and then the Panthers at home, so they can in some way control their own destiny. If they win both those games, they're going to be in pretty good shape. Eagles are at Washington, and then they're at the Giants at the end of the season as well. So they've got a couple of difficult games. Giants are basically playing spoiler if they can pull it off. So we'll see. But again, whew, tough weekend for the Packers, but I'm hoping that was, as Tommy Smith deemed it, an anomaly. So we'll see. What's up, Lee?
Yeah, you know, Seattle seemed to get all the calls, you know.
And I
was watching that game yesterday between San Francisco. Man, they did some bad calling, the officials did, in that game.
What'd you think of the play at the end of the first half in the Giants and Redskins game?
I didn't watch that one.
RG3 dives to the pylon. They say he lost the ball on the way into the end zone. They call it a touchback as he fumbled it through the end zone. And they gave it to the Giants, and then that was the end of the half. Santana Moss went ballistic after the call.
He went Miami.
He got tossed out of the game. He did. Apparently he watched the U. He's buying his own press.
That's all I was thinking about. He must have just got hyped up because of the U.
Anyway.
But it seems to me certain teams really get the call. I used to not believe that.
Yeah.
People used to tell me that. They used to say, well, you know, certain teams get the call. But now, I think that New England and Seattle, I think they do get the call.
Yeah, New England does.
Lee, I know it's tough for a lot of people to understand this, but it is true. It's just like Michael Jordan used to get all the calls.
Yeah.
Kobe. Perception of the officiating crew, if it comes down to it, it just seems like that they have that tendency to give the call if it's a 50-50, to give the call to a team that seems to have been there before, won a bunch of games. I don't know what call it.
You know, New England, one thing that I really don't like about them, they think that somebody committed an infraction or some kind of foul or something, they're going to get up and start protesting. But see, if I was an official in a game like that, if he's telling me to throw a flag, you know what? I would throw that flag. And you know who I throw the flag on? I say, it's on you, buddy. Yeah, I would throw the flag on him. I said, don't tell me how to do my job.
Well, you got any game balls from the weekend? Anything you're happy about?
Oh, no. I'm happy, man. I'm so happy, man. I'm about to cry. But anyway,
but you got any positives? Anybody that impressed you over the weekend? Anything good to say about anybody from the weekend? Or are you just going to complain about the officiating?
Right now I'm in the complaining mode.
Okay. Well, when you think of something positive, call me back.
Lee, did you hear Bobby Knight on the broadcast? He likes to complain about the officiating a little bit.
I love Bobby Knight.
I love Bobby
Knight. I think he's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah, he is. Actually, I
got a lot of positive. Listen, I mean, 30-some years this guy was a coach, man, and he never cheated. I mean, I'm not going to say he never cheated, but I'm going to say he never got caught. And he did a lot of things for a lot of players, man, for the institution and all that. But the only thing that people can think about is that, well, he threw that chair, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Lee, we got to run.
Strangle that kid.
Appreciate the call. And kick the one kid, too. I mean, other than that. Hey, coming up, we're going to hear from Blake Anderson. We will visit with him about the upcoming matchup in their bowl game. Back to the GoDaddy, my friends. And talk about some of his players' performances this year.
He passed away, by the way.
Who did?
He got strangled. Just found out.
Who did?
I'll get you information.
What's that kid's name?
Neil Reed.
Neil Reed, did he really? That's sad. Well, thanks a lot for bringing me down. Appreciate that. You know what? Jockstrap to you for ruining my beautiful Monday.
Tis the season for the Ram Big Finish event, and it's the same thing.